Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, as we consider your word, we thank you for this colorful story, that your word isn't there to amuse us as such, but to draw us to know you. And so speak to us through it, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're really only in chapter 4 today, so if you're following in your Bibles, 2 Kings chapter 4, and we've already got up to verse 7 yesterday. So Elisha, as the prophet of God, he traveled the country all through Israel on regular things, and he would be doing, I'm not sure what all he did, but he would offer sacrifices at times and be there to do special things. And he had a servant that he went with him, and we'll see him featuring quite a bit today. Remember, it looked like Elisha used to be Elijah's servant. Well, Elisha now, as he's the man of God, he has a servant called Gehazi. And so he's traveling with him, so we have to remember that as we're thinking about it. And he travels through the country, and one particular town that he passed through is called Shunem. And there's a lady there that we call the Shunammite woman. And really, that's just, it's like calling Joanne the Waiholaite lady. So, which wouldn't be a rude title, but it just means you're calling them by where they live. So this Shunammite lady was a lady who had a heart for God, and she loved to serve, and she was gifted at serving. She was also a wealthy lady, so she wasn't short of money to buy the groceries. And so as Elisha seemed to be coming through her town on a regular sort of basis, she began to invite him in for dinner, him and his servant, and they would come in and she would give them a great meal. And so it became a pattern that they would have dinner with the Shunammite lady. Well, after a bit, the Shunammite lady said to her husband, "I think this guy is a holy man. He is a real man of God." And she's thinking, whatever I can do for this man, I'm honoring God. And she said to her husband, let's make a room so that instead of just giving a meal as he passes through, let's make a room on top of our house and so that he and his servant can stay there. And so on their flat-topped house, they made a little room and they put a bed in it and a chair in it and a table and a lampstand and a 3-point plug for charge his computer. And so that he was fully independent when he went there. Well, time rolled on and they had stayed there a number of times. And one time after Elisha was resting in his room on his bed, he said to Gehazi, "Go and call the Shunammite woman to come and see me." And he said to her, "You've been really good to us, tremendously good. What could we do for you?" And Elisha was thinking, I've got a bit of clout in this country. And he said, "Could I put in a word to the king for you?" I don't know what the king was going to do for her, but perhaps he could have knighted her and made her, I don't know what a lady knight is called, but he could have given her a title. He said, "Or could I speak to the commander of the army? If you're feeling a wee bit insecure in your town, he could make a couple of soldiers fall off the back of the truck just past your house, and that could make you safer." And she said, "Oh, no, I don't really need that. I live amongst friends." You're thinking, oh, well, those two suggestions weren't much good. And she goes away, and Gehazi says, "Elisha, this lady's husband is real old, and she's got no son." "Oh," said Elisha, "well, tell her to come back." And she came back to Elisha, and he said, this time next year you're going to be cuddling a son. She said, don't you lie to me, mate. Don't mess with my head. Don't mess with my emotions. And I think she's implying that she would have longed for a son in the past, and it's far too late, and don't stir up old feelings. I think that's what she's saying. Nonetheless, says Elisha, this time next year, you'll have a little baby boy in your arms. And sure enough, that was true. And that little baby boy grew up to be a strong young fella. And one day he went out to help his dad in the harvest, and they were in the tractor or the combine harvester or whatever they harvested in. And the boy said to his dad, oh, my head, my head. And the dad, being a wise dad, said, send her to his mum. And so he, mums can fix everything. And so he got a servant to take the boy out of the harvester and away back to mum. And she nursed him on her lap with tears. And at lunchtime he died. And in her mind, the only thing to do now was to go for Elisha and find him. And Elisha's away from here on Mount Carmel. And she says to her husband, I'm going for Elisha. He said, what would you go there for? It's not a new moon. It's not a festival. It's not a sacred time. And she said, let me have the fastest donkey we've got. And she got a donkey saddled. She got a servant in behind the donkey with a stick. And she got on the donkey. And she said to the servant, don't slacken up. Keep the hammer down until we get to Mount Carmel. And in Mount Carmel, from a vantage point, Elisha looked out and he said to Gehazi, ah, that looks like the Shunammite woman coming to us on a fast donkey. And so he said to Gehazi, you run down and meet her and say to her, is all well with you, m'lady? Is all well with your husband? Is all well with your boy? And so he greeted her like that. And what does she say? Yep, everything's all right. And brushed him aside and kept going flat out. She had one thing in her mind. She was getting to Elisha. And so when she comes to Elisha, she fell flat on her face and grabbed Elisha by his feet in her tears. And so much so that Gehazi had caught up with her by that time, and he was going to shove her out of the way because he didn't think that was a very respectful thing for her to be doing to his master. And she said bitterly, didn't I tell you? She said, did I ask for a son? Didn't I tell you not to mess with my heart? And she explained to him that this boy that she'd given was now dead. That those emotions that she was afraid of stirring up had been stirred up afresh. And she's saying to Elisha, in essence, I think this is just plain cruel. And Elisha said to Gehazi, his servant, take my staff, young man, and you go. Go to Shunem as fast as you can. If anyone stops to talk to you about the weather, ignore them. If anyone stops to talk to you about the lamb price or anything like that, ignore them. If they say good day, mate, don't say anything. You just fix your eyes on Shunem, go like the clappers, and when you get there, take this staff of mine, and you go into that room because the, we missed that, but didn't the Shunammite lady laid the dead boy on Elisha's bed. I want you to go into our little room there, find that dead boy, and you place this stick on his face. And Gehazi did what he was told. And he didn't talk to anybody. He was rude to everybody he passed, and just kept going and put the stick on the boy's face. And nothing happened. I don't know whether he did anything, whether he wiggled the stick or wiggled the boy or anything, but nothing happened. And so he returned. Well, by this time Elisha was coming because the lady said to him, "I'm not leaving you. Whatever Gehazi is doing, I'm staying with you, Elisha, and not leaving." So Elisha thought, well, I might as well go. And so Elisha and the Shunammite woman came, and they met Gehazi coming back, and he said, "I did what you said. I put the stick on his face, and he didn't flicker. Nothing, not a twitch." And so they walked to the home, and Elijah goes in, and here's this dead boy on his bed, and he shuts the door behind him, and he stretches himself out on top of the boy with his limbs and his face against his. And nothing is happening initially, and we could think, you know, what's he doing? And I wonder, you know, again, he had asked for a double portion of the Spirit of God, and the Holy Spirit has comes upon him in a powerful way at times, and the Spirit brings life. We've been talking about that at night, and that the Holy Spirit comes strong upon Elisha, I think, who's going to enter this boy. Well, the first time, there's no flicker. Elisha gets up, walks around, and then he comes back and he does it again. And this time the boy grows warm. And then the boy sneezes 7 times and gets up. Today they would have tested him for COVID if he did if he did that, but they didn't know about that then. And he said to his servant, "You get the mum and she can come and have a boy now." And we could say, when we're thinking of these signs being a mark of it being God's man, and thinking the Lord Jesus showed signs that showed he was God's, sent from God, and we could perhaps say that, do you think it would be fair to say that the apex of Jesus' signs was perhaps the raising of Lazarus, or Jairus' daughter, or the son of the widow of Nain? And here we have seen through Elisha perhaps a little picture again of this ultimate thing of being able to bring life to a dead body. Well, just to finish the chapter very quickly, a famine was on, and Elisha had worked with a big lot of other prophets, and there was a big group of them. And he said, "We better make a stew." And Logan was talking about his grandmother making a stew out of grass, and I think their stew was a bit similar. And they were scratching for something to put in it, and the boys were collecting up herbs. And one of the prophets was out, and they found a tree with gourds on it, berries or something or other, and he got his knife and sliced them up and put them in the stew. I had a friend, I've done a lot of tramping and living in the bush a bit with, and he was a great experimenter on bush mushrooms. And he made himself a stew. And he was as crook as a dog for about 2 days. And so someone put these gourds in the stew, and as they tasted it, they recognized straight away, and they yelled out to Elisha, "There's death in the pot. It's poisonous." And Elisha, just a bit like, remember him purifying the water we talked about yesterday, he said, "Bring me some meal, some grain meal, some flour." And he threw that in the pot, and then they ate, and it was good. One more little thing that happens in that chapter, which again I think is fascinating. It's a famine, remember, and Elisha is working with these prophets, and there's a group of 100 men. And a guy comes in with a donkey load of bread buns, of barley buns, of 20 buns. And I don't know how big these It says their loaves, but we think of a loaf of bread like this, but I'm pretty sure they were like a hamburger bun type size loaf. He comes in with 20 loaves, and Elisha says, "Set this before the men." And the servants say, "These 20 miserable buns before 100 hungry men, how will you feed them?" And Elisha says, "You go ahead and pass them out between the 100 men, and you'll find that they all get their bellies completely full, and there'll be some left over." And when we think of that account, what do we think of when it comes to the New Testament? Feeding the 5,000, don't we? And then Jesus did it again with 4,000. Yeah, and again, it's a picture pointer to us that God's mark is on this man, and that when our Lord Jesus come, we would recognize him for being God's man. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that to bring back a dead person to life is no trouble to you. And we thank you that you showed us a picture of what your son would do through this man, Elisha. And we praise you for this account. And we thank you that Jesus, in his ministry, raised at least three people from the dead. But we praise you that ultimately what he's done for us will raise us all from the dead if we have our trust in him. And Lord, we thank you for the sign to do with the bread. And again, it just makes us think so clearly of our Lord Jesus and what he has done. Lord, go with us now and continue to minister to us, whether we be young or old. In Jesus' name, amen.